You are now entering Zone 4. Please be seated and prepare to experience the nerd aristocracy. Any offences encountered by today's broadcast will not be the responsibility of the Mars Sivex Consolidated Drilling Corporation or its subsidiaries.
Welcome to the Nerd Aristocracy, the podcast for all things nerd. Available worldwide at nerdaristocracy.com. The leaders of the nerd proletariat, your esteemed hosts, Jonathan Bell and Ryan Reinecke.
What is going on, proletariat? Jonathan Bell alongside Mr. Ryan Reinecke.
Hello, Jonathan Bell.
Hello, Mr. Ryan Reinecke. We are back after our one-week hiatus.
Yeah, it's been a very, very productive week for both of us.
It has. Tell me about your productivity.
My productivity was doing a short film in the fair city of New Orleans, Louisiana. Okay. It is called The Long Lost Last Weekend.
Wow, that is a lot of L's. Like, if that was a Wheel of Fortune puzzle, and you guessed L, even if that consonant was worth like $100, you would probably win.
Yeah, just based on that.
Sure.
And then you'd be like, what the hell is that?
Yes.
Like, it's not, it's long, obviously. That should be the long lost title of a short film.
Yes, and if consonants were worth, say, $2,500... or your L was worth $2,500, then Pat Sajak would probably just punch you in the balls.
But you'd be very popular with the L word crowd.
Yes.
They'd be like, well, this would be a lesbian flick. If you just do like L cubed weekend, you'd get a bunch of math nerds.
I was about to say it would be popular with the trigonometry and pre-calculus.
Lesbians out there.
Yeah. Of which there are many.
Yeah, they're a good market. It's a good demo.
That's
good
true.
Demo to hit. And I even think it has a subtitle, too. Like, The Long Lost Last Weekend, blah, 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 the blah, 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 blah.
Right.
It was an interesting jaunt. Contact, a guy I know in New Orleans for years, had me audition for it. I didn't hear anything, and then called me and was like, oh, hey, can you do that role that you auditioned for, like, next week? And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then thinking, like, well, why didn't you call me back after I auditioned? Oh, obviously they cast somebody else that dropped out. But, you know, that's just me shitting on myself. So pretty much I was just like, hey, you know, you get my gas, you make it worth my while to get over there. We're good because, you know, small production and stuff like that. I just needed to stretch the acting muscles.
Sure.
So I get out there and they're doing a pretty big job of a small film. They had like a grip truck rented, people
nice.
Running around, a lot of people from L.A. That came out there to work on it. That the writer director had gotten. I actually knew this guy from just running circles in New Orleans. So it's kind of like, oh, hey, good to see you again. And the part I play is kind of like the lover of a woman who's cheating on her husband, like the male equivalent of a mistress.
So
I don't know. You're
what right.
Called.
So you played the other man.
Is that what they're called? Because I was that like, is, yeah, they called a mister. They're called the other man.
The other man.
The other
as,
man.
As in the other woman. But since you do, I have heard, possess a penis, you and your character would both be called the other man.
And it would be the other penis would be mine.
That's true. But but see, that's not kosher in some circles to say the other penis.
Yeah.
Because that is implying she is receiving penis from both parties. And typically, if she's cheating on her husband, it is perhaps a loveless marriage.
And she shut down that
crime. Right. She's penis. Only receiving penis from one person.
Right, right.
So you would, technically, you would not be the other penis. You would be
just, penis.
You're right. But you would be the other man, but the penis.
The other man with the penis.
Correct. But that's wordy.
Yeah.
So you want.
Yeah. I think we touched upon that in like semantics and like an English.
You might have touched upon it. You might have touched upon
the correct usage of penis. Yeah.
Right. You might have touched upon penis. But
okay. So, yes, I was the other penis in this scenario. And I played a very, what's the term? Very, very nerdy guy, very impish, very spineless character. And the woman was like, every line I had was like, well, blah, blah, blah. And the woman was like, shut up, Fred. And I was like, okay. And I was just looking forlorn and awkward. And I got – my costume was excellent because, you know, we were about to go do the nasty. So I was wearing a red and black kimono with gold Japanese characters on it, with no pants on and slippers. And I look pretty fucking awesome, I have to say. Like, when the director cracks up just because you dress in costume, you know you're on a good thing.
If that is the intended purpose.
I think so. It's a war documentary, so it's hard to tell. Okay. I did hear somebody on the crew say, oh, he's got a great face. And I don't know if they were saying that just because I was crying, or if they were like...
Or because you were a terrible actor and he wanted to do that.
Well, at least he's got a great face. Maybe we can ADR his whole performance.
Right, his face is good for TV.
So that was like day one, was that... I mean, that was the meat of it. And I get to drown a guy with a champagne bottle full of booze as he's passed out on a chair, which was pretty cool. Just to dump water in this guy's mouth. Apparently nobody was concerned that the water didn't look like champagne.
I was about to say, see, I would have gone with Sprite or...
I would have... Ginger ale.
Right.
Ginger ale has the color of champagne and bubbles and stuff. But this guy, I mean, I got to give him his due. Todd was like, like, just taking chunks of it. I don't know. I mean, these guys seem pretty tech savvy, so I mean, that could be an easy post fix of just tinting it a little, in the yellow hue. And then my other day was filming the stuff that came the scene before, because you know when you're filming something, things are rarely filmed in sequence. And the day of my first filming, I had a gigantic bruise on the side of my face and like a split lip. It's because the scene that we filmed on the second day was, which was actually before this, is I'm trailing this guy around town and stuff, and he ducks behind a corner and finds me and beats the fuck out of me, which was cool. So that was my second day of filming. It was like hiding behind garbage cans, following him around, and him swinging me in a doorway in New Orleans and giving me a good right uppercut to the face, and then a backhand to the other side of my face, and then punching me in the gut. And it was good to do something like that. I've never done an on-screen ass-kicking before.
Okay.
That didn't end up on YouTube immediately the day after. So it was good to have one, you know, for a performance. And that was fun to do. And that was just a couple of shots. And it was like French Quarter Fest in New Orleans, so there's balls traffic all over the place. And that was a little pain in the ass. But I got to touch base with some friends. And you know, I enjoyed working on the project. And, you know, we'll see how it comes out in the wash.
Very cool. That reminds me of the first commercial I ever did. It was a local commercial for the Steakout restaurant.
No way. Yes. The delivery.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah, they deliver fucking steak and baked potatoes to you and
I played a delivery boy, a pizza delivery boy. And for
Were you like the other company?
It was the worst written commercial ever. So apparently these people order Steakout. But for some reason, a pizza delivery boy shows up. Don't ask me. I don't know.
Because we at Steakout don't know how to fucking process an order.
So I show up with my pizza box and my pizza outfit. And for some reason, the homeowner throws water in my face. I don't know.
Wow.
Fucking ludicrous concept. Makes no sense.
It's perfect. It's just what the kids want. They want that idiosyncratic, doesn't make sense, doesn't even feature the product. Must have been a hit.
Right. So, anyway, so they had to shoot it like 3 times of me getting water splashed in my face.
Uh-huh.
And, like, by the 3rd time, I know, you know, all realism is completely out the window.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just know that it's coming.
So. Did they have multiple costumes, so they would like put you back in a dry costume, or is it just like your costume's already wet?
It was a pretty low budget affair, so I don't think they had multiple costumes.
Yeah, they had to dry this guy's costume, and the thing I did with a hair dryer. So I was like, all right, 20 minutes.
That's for regional commercials.
Downtime.
You got to step up to the regional commercial to get multiple costumes.
What was your reaction after the water in your face thing?
Really? Was the first one not good enough? Because it's not going to get any more real than that, if that's what you're looking for. Right. Water keeps going up my fucking nostrils.
Now we need a reverse shot. Now we need a shot the audience is the water.
I was like, and this is going to air for 2 weeks, and, you know, nobody's going to see it, and it sucks anyway, so just fucking use the first take and call it.
So is that company still around?
No.
Oh.
Drove them out of business!
Well, shit, I want to get a pizza when I order a steak, so look at that. What'd you do over the weekend?
I was in Las Vegas, Nevada, Sin City.
Sin City.
I was indeed. I was doing some stand-up comedy.
Good, well, let's let it stay there. So, in the news, in Libya... No, please, do tell.
Not a lot to tell, man.
Well, how many shows? 10 shows or something crazy?
Two shows a night for 6 nights, so 12 shows altogether. Ran Tuesday through Sunday. I flew out there on Tuesday. Had an early flight, so I got in about 10:30 a.m. Mm-hmm. local time, and made it to the hotel and took a little bit of a nap, and then went and did some comedy that night, and then slept late the next day. And yeah, you know, the thing about being a comedian and with my current financial situation is when you can go to Las Vegas, but you can't really enjoy all that Las Vegas has to offer because A, I go there to make money and not to spend it.
Right.
So,
it's kind of like you're the boy in the glass bubble. You're like, see all the fun people are having running in the park.
Correct.
You just can't join in.
Absolutely. So, I did get to eat, buffets and gorge myself and gain about 10 pounds.
Yeah, was that all comped and everything?
Yes.
Awesome.
But,
did you bring any back?
I did not. Okay. I did not. But, yeah, I had a good time. Some friends came out to see me. A friend of the show, Teresa, came out, came up from Colorado to check me out. She brought some friends. And my friend Corey, who grew up here but now lives in Las Vegas, he and his 8-month pregnant wife came to the show.
But you're going to say 8-month-old child. So
no.
That's better.
So they'll be, he'll be a new father here in about a month or so.
Wow.
So congratulations to him. But, yeah, other than that, had fun. Typically there's some celebrities that come to the shows.
Mm-hmm.
This time I think the biggest name is, Steve Rossi, who was, old school, part of an old school comedy duo from Allen and Rossi.
Okay.
Marty Allen and Steve Rossi. Both of them are still alive, but old comedy duo from like 50s, 60s. We're on Ed Sullivan a lot.
So dude is probably in his 80s or something?
Yeah, he's pretty old. Pretty old. But he came to the show, seemed to have a good time, enjoyed him himself, met him after the show.
Nice. Did he give you any notes or just kind of a
tough racket? Yeah, he looked like the typical old Jewish man in Las Vegas.
Uh-huh.
Had a lot of gold on and like the open shirt and was 100 years old. And but yeah, he was he came to the show and had a good time.
So what is your regiment like? What's your pre-show? Because I know like as a stand-up, you know, you try to conserve your energies and stuff like that. And
right.
just as a performer, you're going to have some kind of routine
sure.
that you do pre-show and,
sure.
and post-show, too. Like, you're
right.
kind of cool down. So, can you take me through that?
Typically, I start getting ready about 2 hours before the show. Mm-hmm. If it's a hotel, you know, resort-type setting and the club is in the hotel or in the casino. So, I'll get ready about 2 hours beforehand. And then take me about an hour to get ready, you know, as far as cleaned up and shaved and gelled and sport coated and all that good stuff. And then from about an hour out to about half an hour out, that 30-minute time range, I'm typically listening to music. I have a playlist. A J Bell pre-show playlist.
Oh, yeah?
If you will.
Nice. I understand totally.
So listen to that, and then about half an hour before the show, I'll go ahead and head down to the club. And
Now, what's in your playlist? Like, can you give me some choice examples now? Is it all like a get amped thing, or is it like a smattering of different things?
It's a smattering of different things. There's a lot of rap in it.
Right.
But most is of or relating to performing.
Okay. Hoping to like bring them with you almost as like an army.
Yeah.
On your with your back.
Right. So, you know, a lot of songs about, you know, the little guy making it, you know,
right.
that kind of
okay.
stuff.
Just the little engine that could might be an excerpt.
Yeah.
So, right, that's cute.
So that kind
I like
of
that.
Stuff. And then, yeah, about half an hour before the show, I'll head down to the club and you know, the Improv in Vegas, it has a window where the stage manager sits at the back of the club so he can give you a light.
Uh-huh.
But it's to the left side of the house. So the stage is at the front, and then there's the club, mm-hmm. and then on the left side, up against the left wall of the theater, there's a window where the stage manager sits. The backstage area is back behind that window and connects to the back of the stage.
Okay.
So the improv is nice because I can go out and survey the audience before the show starts and not have to go into the club itself.
Oh, I got
like you. A lot of places, the green room or the backstage area, you know,
you'd have to pull a curtain.
Yeah. You'd have to open the door or pull the curtain, which, you know, terribly unprofessional, mm-hmm. and also unprofessional to be for the performer to be walking around the house or the lobby or whatever before the show. So, but, you know, for stand-up, with regards to stand-up comedy, it's very helpful to see your audience. You know, I mean, the first rule of stand-up is to know your audience. So I like to know if I've got, you know, some young people, where they're at, or if it's nothing but old people, or if it's all black people, or whatever. You know, you kind of just, it's nice to know what kind of lion's den you're walking into before you walk out on stage, you know?
So what was if you had to like take all of your audience members and put them in a mathematical equation and like divide it until you had one composite of a human being,
right?
Who would they be?
It would be a white couple aged 55.
Okay. Political leanings?
I'm Republican.
Okay. All right. Married?
But Midwestern Republican, not okay. Alabama crazy. Republican.
Okay.
Like Nebraska Republican.
Kind of comfortably conservative.
Yeah. Middle of the road with a little bit of lean to the right.
Right. Okay. Copy that. So you must have gone over swimmingly with them.
you know, I can play the hand I'm dealt.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a professional.
Well, that's good, man.
I'm not gonna bite the hand that feeds.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, the problem with white people.
Yeah. I'm not a dumbass.
You got too much money.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm not gonna go out there and rail against, you know,
the Tea Party.
For example.
How long was your set?
It varies.
Because you told me at one point that you came on and then you disappeared
typically,
for a while.
Typically, at the Improv in Vegas, you know, since it's the big leagues, I'm not headlining. Mm-hmm. I'm not featuring. I'm like the opener / MC. So I'll come out and do like 5-10 minutes of comedy and then introduce the feature act. The feature act will come on and do about 15 or 20 minutes. He'll come off. I'll come back on, do another 5 or 10 minutes. Then bring the headliner up.
Mm-hmm.
He'll do half an hour, and then I'll come back on stage and close out the show.
Kind of ramp them down.
Right.
That's interesting. I mean, that seems like a lot of pressure for being...
To be honest, like, I hate saying this because it makes me sound like I've never had a real job, mm-hmm. and I don't know what tired or working hard is, but... Two shows a night, coming back and forth on stage all night, like, your brain doesn't have a chance to, like, wind down. Like, if you're in a musical and you're not in the second act, then, you know, you have that downtime. Or if there's 4 scenes in a play that you're not in, mm-hmm. you can kind of come out of character mode and kind of chill out. But in this gig, I'm back and forth on stage all night doing material, telling jokes, you know.
How long between the first show ends and the second show starts?
8:30 to 9:45 is the first show.
Mm-hmm.
Second show starts at 10:30, so about 45 minutes.
Okay. So enough time to, like, maybe take a shit and...
Yeah.
Breathe a couple of times, smoke a couple of cigarettes.
Yeah.
Kind of reset... To do it
sure.
Again.
Yeah. Typically, it's going downstairs, smoking a couple of cigarettes, getting a beer or Crown and Coke from the bar.
Damn, man, you work so hard.
I know.
How's that black lung?
I know, man. It's tough. no, it's funny.
It's the mental fucking running.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's very taxing to And to be honest, by like the third or fourth night, doing two shows a night, you forget which jokes you've already told.
For
like you try and have, okay, this is my first set, this is my second set.
Yeah.
But you do your first and second set, your first show, and sometimes the timing is thrown off. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I'll have to do another joke. I'll have to steal a joke from my second set and add it on top of right. my first set mm-hmm. because I haven't filled up my allotted time because the audience just isn't laughing, you know, or they're laughing, but you know, what we call stallers, meaning they'll laugh, but it'll be like, ha, ha, mm-hmm. and then stop. Very okay, reserved. Next joke. Ha, ha, okay, next joke. Whereas some crowds are like, ha, 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 ha. Yeah. So, I mean, and when you spread that out over the length of your set, you know, that's a difference of like 45 seconds to a minute. And you don't want to short yourself that minute on stage. And you don't want to get the reputation as a comic who doesn't fill his time.
Right, right.
So,
Or repeat his shit.
Right.
So, the same show.
So when the second show comes along, you've already done your first act, your second act in the first show, or your first set, second set, first show. Then you've already done your first set, second show, and then you come out for your second set, second show, and you've done this four nights in a row. You have no clue what the fuck joke you've done. So you're just saying, okay, I'm going to do my typical second set and pray to God that I haven't already told this joke. Because if you tell the same joke...
I tell you guys about this. Right. Yes. All right.
Yeah. They're just going to look at you like, you told that fucking 10 minutes ago, you jackass.
Wow.
Because they have no concept that you've done the same set 15 times already.
No, you exist for them.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And that's fine, you know. And luckily it didn't happen to me, but, you know, there's always that fear. Had a good time. Had a real good time.
And, did you have any hecklers? I mean, it doesn't sound like a heckling kind of crowd.
No, I had a woman that, she wasn't a heckler. She was just a really loud audience member. And
she drunk?
Yes. And she sounded like a guy. Oh. So I thought, like, I have this bit called Lotion Explosion. And it's about my carrying lotion in my suitcase, and because of the heat or whatever, it exploding and getting all over all my clothes.
Okay.
And anyway, I do the setup, and then she yells out, "You look fine to me." So it's not really a heckle,
yeah.
But it's still like a fucking with your
thank
your
you,
chin.
Ma'am.
Yeah, exactly. So I didn't want to go at her.
Right.
And fucking destroy her, because then everybody's going to be like, dude, she was giving you a compliment.
Mm-hmm.
But you still don't want to let that go on throughout mm-hmm. the whole show, because it's fucking disrespectful.
Right. But so, did you acknowledge it?
I addressed
kind of bring
it.
Bring
it yeah. in? To- I said, you know, I made a joke out of it. I said, well, thank you. But this was a weird thing. She had such a deep voice. I thought it was a dude.
You look fine to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, thank you, sir, but if anyone else wants to hit on me, I'll be in the lobby after the show. And it got a big laugh, but I found out later that it was a fucking woman.
Wow. Well, that is your brilliance, you know. You worked in an insult, even though
sure.
you were just trying to
that's it.
Pacify it.
Yeah, thanks. But, so that was the only heckler per se of the week.
Well, 12 shows, that's, you know.
But, you know, yeah, I mean, typically if somebody's paying $50-$60 for a ticket to see this show, probably not going to be heckling. You
right.
know, they probably want
to get my money's worth.
Yeah, they probably want to enjoy it. Not to say that 90% of the audience probably isn't comped, but, you know, it's a higher end show than if I'm doing a one nighter in fucking Birmingham. You know what I mean?
Right. Open mic.
There was one funny thing, though. In Vegas, Las Vegas Magazine, which is like there's a million entertainment publications in Las Vegas, mm-hmm. but it's the main one. They have a nice, like, full color ad for the improv, and it's got the three comedians' pictures for the week, and directly across the magazine, on the opposite page of this magazine from the improv ad with my picture, is a picture or a full page color advertisement for the Thunder from Down Under, mm-hmm. which are male strippers yes, from Australia. They are. And they are in very good shape, I will say. And it's just funny, the juxtaposition from, like, here are three or overweight, relatively unattractive comedians, like, contrasted with, here are...
some fucking sex machines.
Yeah, here's eight sex machines from Australia with tight blue jeans and no shirts, all with... fucking six packs from hell.
Yeah, I gotta see this. I gotta build this for the audience. Yeah, these guys are fucking cut. If you could take these, what's that lower part where like the stomach turns into the groin?
I don't know.
That it's just weird. It looks like the fucking.
That's called a muscle I have never seen. Yeah, myself.
It looks like the hood of a Chevy that's been popped or something like that. I mean, right. There's clear definition there. You could put it on a pole and spin it and probably drill oil in the fucking Gulf of Mexico, probably along with their huge Australian penises.
I'm not lacking in the penis department, but I definitely do not have.
Yeah, but I mean, your picture doesn't make me think about your penis.
That's true.
Which is probably it a good should, thing.
But well, it just have, it just doesn't hit the mark.
You should have submitted them the 3/4 shot that had like from your gut up,
right?
And be
yes.
like Jonathan Bell.
Then they would definitely not
so
come
like
to
your,
the show.
Your beautiful pasty American body,
right.
up there. The only thing I can say is it is. I would have cracked up if this was me. Just like, oh, of course, look at that. Like, right across from it. These
sure, like, I couldn't have had Rita Rudner or, cakes. You know, fucking Carrot Top or somebody like that across from me. I've mm-hmm. got to have the Thunder from Down Under for them to compare.
Well, you could have had the transvestite show opposite of you, I guess. I mean, it could have been worse.
It's like that bar game that you play on the little computer thing at all the bars where it's like, find the difference in these pictures, you know? Pretty obvious in those two.
Oh, Tim Allen's in here. It would be nice if you're opposite him. The one benefit though is that when you close the magazine, your face does not end up on their thighs.
That's true.
That would be bad.
Right.
This guy below you is like a magician, I guess, or some variety show thing, and he's like holding a bowl of goldfish that he's pouring into his mouth, and he's right. kind of.
That is Matt like King.
Judge Harry from Night Court or something like that.
It does. It does look like him.
Kind of making a goofy little, like, oh, I'm just eating fish here. But when you close it, like, his open mouth with a goldfish coming out and water all over it is, like, kind of kissing the guy with the long hair on the Australian side. So you can kind of go, and...
You're having way too much fun with this magazine.
I'm not. My pants are still on.
There you go.
But yeah, so if I was Matt Cain, I would feel worse than you do.
Okay.
You
well, should. Thank you for... That's actually Ryan spins the news, but in a positive.
Yeah,
that's
see?
Like
the beautiful that's all thing. I do is positive.
Yeah, spinning. Ryan spins the news.
I can spin
that
stuff bad.
That was our Ryan spins the news segment.
A little freebie there.
For the
freebie
week.
For you.
But yeah, I had a good time, and then... you know, was missing the old lady and happy to happy to yes and happy to return.
Sorry.
And I actually had a check waiting on me upon my return. Let me see if I can find it.
Hey, you told me about that. That's great. So you like do this fucking show, kicking it out, 12 shows, Las Vegas, Harrah's
yes.
Casino. You come back home to your humble abode, and
right.
what should be waiting for you?
A residuals check from the Screen Actors Guild.
SAG, yes, sir.
Yes, from SAG, mm-hmm. a residuals check.
That's right.
For my
tally rolls.
For my big time, full screen, albeit brief, appearance in Jonah Hex. And so I open it up. I have a feeling, you know, what it is, because this is my first residuals check. I haven't received one since the movie came out.
Right, so it's probably modest, couple of grand.
Right, so I said, you know, to be honest, I was like, okay, probably $300 or $400,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Wow, okay.
I thought that would be the range.
Low ball it.
So yeah, yeah, you know.
Might be more than this, but.
Yeah, I didn't want to get too worked up.
Right.
You know, so I'm expecting $300 or $400, because I knew the movie did not do well.
I heard.
Yeah, yeah. So I knew the movie did not do well, so I was not anticipating a fucking, you know, crestfallen money from the sky. But I must admit, I was very shocked to open it up and see the check enclosed for $67.08 pre-tax.
I think it's better.
Yes, after taxes were taken out,
mm-hmm.
I am currently holding a check from Warner Brothers Pictures, and I will allow Ryan to corroborate this. Mm-hmm. A check made to Jonathan Bell from Warner Brothers Pictures for $45.12.
That's amazing. That's just enough to get the collector's box set to Jonah Hex.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And ironically enough, they have it broken down for you.
Yeah, so you can see where all that money is coming from.
So paid TV, which, you know.
HBO, maybe.
Well, I don't think it's come out on that, but I'm guessing hotels, you know, people can order it in their hotel room or on DirecTV or pay-per-view or whatever. That grossed me $50.22.
Nice.
Now, video/DVD. Now, you can tell that this is going to be a cult phenomenon, a cult classic, if you will, because my video and DVD residuals thus far equal $16.86.
Paula.
Yes. So
nice, dude.
Don't worry about your rent for the next few months. I've got it. I'm going to knock it
really?
Out for
so you. Are you going to get the rims for your Prius out of some of that?
I'm just going to do away with the Prius. I'm going to buy like a new stretch limousine, I think.
Yeah.
With this check.
That's what I'm talking about. That's awesome.
That's it.
That's great, baby.
Yeah, I'm excited. Bam. Can't wait to cash it.
Photocopy that thing first.
You know? Warner Brothers won't know what to do once I cash that check.
Jesus Christ, we've got
to
sell off some stock. Jay Bell will just cash.
Sell the back lot so we can make Jonathan's check good.
Well, this is a good segue. I'm going to shoehorn in here to do our IMDb listing.
Please.
Check, because, I mean, movies, you know, entertainment, stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, this past week in both our careers have been fucking busy.
That's right.
You know.
Call this coin as I flip it.
Okay. Tails.
Heads.
Okay.
We'll look at me first.
Okay.
All right.
But, this past week has been gangbusters for both of us. So if IMDb really has their trolls out on the watch to see how our star meter should be, we should both be up significantly, because this has been a very productive week for us.
I am down 69% since last week.
Wait, hold on. Weren't you down 67% or something last week?
I checked it like 4 days ago when I was doing the film, and I was up 174%.
Whoa!
Yeah. And I was like, whoa,
you were up more. You were up more than 100%.
Yeah. The only thing I can imagine is that the people working on the film are like, who the fuck is this guy? He's fantastic. And they looked me up.
Right.
And then you just had this flood of people looking me up maybe in 1 or 2 days. And then it shot up from like, you know, 800,064 to, you know, 2 or 3 above that. Maybe just by all the weird math that it does.
Sure.
Up, but now, no, I'm
well, by that rationale, I should be up like 200% just based on the fact that I know at some time in this last week, people have been looking through Las Vegas Magazine and been like, ooh, look, these three comedians are at the Improv. Who the hell are these guys?
They must be opening for this Australian dance troupe.
Right? And they probably looked me up, so.
You are up. You are up.
I am up.
A modest 6%.
Wow, 6%.
Yeah, yeah.
6%.
But I mean, you know, where is that in the grand scheme of things?
Yeah.
6% from last week. So
6% from last week. Okay.
It's not bad.
All right. Good it's stuff. A new week. So technically, I was performing last week. So mm-hmm. I guess I should have been self-indulgent and checked last week.
Right.
And then
the second you got on the plane to come back.
Sure. Yeah.
When's their weekend? Is it a Friday thing?
Right. Yeah. They probably start over on Sunday.
And we're in the middle of the week, too. Maybe we should check back at the weekend. I don't know.
Right.
That's all right. That kind of let down by that, but I'm happy I got the number 69 in there somewhere.
Me too.
But in other percentage news, our show, the Nerd Aristocracy Podcast, has had officially over 2,000 listens.
Wow.
Yay us. Yay, proletariat. Good. You're the people us. That made it happen. Because that's right. I can only refresh the browser every so often.
Sure, and I can only drive to everyone I know's house and use their internet.
Sneak in the middle of the night.
Right. I can only do that downloaded. So many times before I get shot. So
most listened episode is episode 4 with 209 listens overall.
Well, what the hell were we doing on episode 4 that we weren't doing on all the other episodes?
That was the one where we were talking about a...
What screenshot did you use for that? Because obviously it garnered a lot of attention.
The Chopin with the weed glasses.
That's it. Yeah. It was the marijuana connection.
Yeah, I thought if we kept things current, though, like Charlie Sheen one, I honestly thought that would be, like, number one. Because I thought everybody would be looking up Tiger Blood, man.
Sure.
But no, I mean, that just kind of fell right in average with all the others.
No, apparently we need to do more... composer
Kardashians.
Composer slash drug tie-ins. We need to do like Bach on LSD, mm-hmm. or you know, Beethoven on, you know, ecstasy or whatever. I think right. that's what we
just need to make some things up. Sure, I think.
Absolutely.
Jim Morrison on Tylenol.
Yeah,
well, he didn't do anything.
Really. Tylenol 3 maybe because it's got codeine.
I don't know. He was a pretty straight arrow. I don't know if he would have done that stuff.
Yeah, you're right. Well, what do you say we take a quick break?
Sounds good.
And we shall return.
All right, folks, that's been catching you up on us catching up.
That's it.
And we'll catch up after this.
You just got your asses whipped by a bunch of damn nerds. Nerds!
Nerds! Nerds! Nerds! Nerds! Nerds! Nerds! Nerds! Nerds! Nerds!
Bumper music, courtesy of DJ Andy Redrom.
Beautiful. Yeah. I love it.
That was a fun little surprise in our mailbox.
That was the first time I had heard that.
Yeah, I'm glad I could throw that in for you.
That was fantastic. Yeah, DJ Andy Redrom is the Mad Notes. If y'all have not checked him out, seriously do so. He is linked on our main page there on the right-hand side. That's all you have to do is go to our main page, nerdaristocracy.com. On the right-hand side, you will see allies, and he is the first ally listed. DJ Andy Redrom, click and visit his site. He's got all sorts of stuff on his website, mixes and events and his bio and all his social media links. So check him out, DJAndyRedrum.com. He is linked on NerdAristocracy.com. Very good friend of the show. I would venture to say the best friend of the show. So yeah, check him out. Wanted to talk a little more about some cinema type stuff, not from you or I, but
yeah.
some stuff going on. And this is almost becoming like an entire movie episode.
It's okay. It's a little entertainment laced. You sure. know, that's what we come out of right now. Recently.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. While I was in Las Vegas, most of the days I spent watching television, and I got to watch Sin of a Woman for the first time in a long time. And I forgot how good that movie was.
Hoo-ah?
Hoo-ah.
Hoo-ah.
Like, seriously. Fantastic fucking action.
I need to see that again. I didn't see it for the longest time after it came out, just because of the hype that it had. And right. I have a tendency to do that. Like, the movie sure. comes out, and I'm like, hey, that looks interesting. And then everybody's like, oh my god, that was great. And I'm like, you guys are fucking morons.
Right. No, I feel the same way, and I think I
But yeah, no, I saw it, and I was like, oh, it's sweet, it's tender, it's sad, but it's, you know, very uplifting, too.
Right. And but what a well-acted fucking... I mean, even, you know, even fucking, I mean...
Robin?
Philip Seymour Hoffman. I mean, one of his...
Oh, I forgot he's even in it.
Yeah, one of his very early roles. He played the private school buddy of the main character.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, man, great film. And I just wanted to mention that. That, like, I'd forgotten how awesome a movie that was and how much ass Al Pacino kicked in that role.
I will have to revisit it. Is it on Netflix? Or did you just catch it on regular TV?
I just caught it on the regular old TV, the old hotel room flat screen. In case you're wondering, Johnny Depp has more Pirates of the Caribbean movies coming out. Yes, I know you were looking forward to it, but...
there's not enough fucking douchebags walking around dressed like his stupid ass on Halloween.
Right. The
Thank you.
The fourth installment of the series, Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides, is coming out in May to theaters.
Oh, I hope it's going to be in 3D.
Yes. So, apparently, Jerry Bruckheimer... already has a script.
Flogging that horse.
Right. Already has a script for a fifth one, and Johnny Depp has already said, sure, it's my cash cow.
Man, it's like Christmas that never ends.
I'll be doing these. I'll be doing Pirates of the Caribbean movies for 173 years. So I wanted to ask you as a fun, like, questionnaire, and if our worthless webmaster would ever put up the poll question app thing on our website, we could actually ask... The proletariat to weigh in.
Oh, right.
But he's got a lot on his mind. a lot on his plate. I was going to ask you to name some series that went on entirely too long. Some film franchises that they should have stopped 15 years ago, no matter what generation they come from. But just a film franchise where they just went one or five films too long.
Okay. Hot Shots.
Okay.
Hot Shots 1, good, needed to be made.
Okay.
Hot Shots Part 2, which I revisited recently on Netflix.
Right.
Not so good.
Okay.
Now, played out. You know, a couple of nice little parodies and satires, but just didn't warrant a film.
Okay.
The Naked Gun movies, those are good. Those can stay. Okay. I kind of feel mixed about the whole Star Wars thing, because I don't agree with the rendering and the renditions that they did of, you know, the first three movies, now that they had a budget and, you know, fucking green screens up the wazoo. I think that was the downfall of it. And I, you know, too bad Lucas didn't make those right out of the gate after Jedi, is all I can say. He had too much time to accumulate huge amounts of wealth and ass-kissing.
Right. See, I'm kind of mixed emotions about,
they needed to be
about
made.
Star Wars.
They needed
because,
to be made.
Right. I like the fact that they introduced a whole new generation to Star Wars. Mm-hmm. I respect that. I appreciate that. But the films, from a cinematic standpoint,
yeah, they just don't hold water.
Bunch of horseshit
against the other ones. They're not airtight.
No.
Poltergeist, the first one, good. Needed to be made.
Right.
I think they went to like three, maybe or four.
I believe three.
Too many. Too many. Just killed that one creepy thing.
Right.
What's another one? Saw.
Right.
Another one where the first one was a really good idea. I mean, like, it was groundbreaking concept.
Sure.
Like, oh my God, what would you do in that situation?
You almost have to exclude the horror genre from this because pretty much every horror movie that sold 15 tickets
that makes its money back will be made again.
Right.
I mean, there's some truth in that.
I mean, come on.
But I mean, the Friday the 13th,
Scream,
those are all valid.
Scream, Nightmare on Elm Street, fucking...
Okay, fair enough.
Halloween.
Fair enough.
Fucking
so we give
Leprechaun.
We give them a pass.
Yes.
Chucky, Seed of Chucky.
Sure.
Okay.
Horror genre excluded.
Close Encounters. Didn't they make a sequel to that?
I don't know. I have not... I don't
well,
think
they shouldn't
did.
Have.
Okay.
If they did.
Okay.
I don't know if they did. It seems like I remember like Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and I think they came out with Close Encounters of the Fourth Kind. I'm not really sure.
Okay.
Charlie's Angels. They should not have made a Charlie's Angels 2.
Are you talking the original, or are you talking
about the movie that came out in movie theaters?
Okay, they should not have made a Charlie Angels 1.
Right. Right.
But much less a 2, but...
Does that also count? Like, ones that they shouldn't have even made
no,
the first
no,
one?
No, that's a whole nother movies that should not have been made in the
You're
first
really
place.
Really narrowing it down here.
But I'm going to say Back to the Future. because Back to the Future 3 sucked ass. Back to the Future 2, I could live with.
Mm-hmm.
Back to the Future 1, landmark.
Needed to be made.
Landmark fucking movie. Right? But, I mean, come on. By the third one, nobody gave a shit. Michael J. Fox didn't give a shit. You know, what's-his-face didn't give a shit.
Yeah, but it's got to be all or nothing. I mean, either yes sequels or no sequels. And I think the benefit of Back to the Future Part 2 outweighs the detriment of Part 3, which I totally agree with you.
But see, why does everything, why does everything that Spielberg is involved in have to be a fucking trilogy?
Because it's easier to put on lunchboxes and it stays more relevant?
Yeah, but I mean, fucking E.T. That wasn't a trilogy, and E.T. was like the best-selling lunchbox of the decade.
That's how good it was, though.
Who didn't have a fucking E.T. lunchbox when they were fucking 5 years old?
It was a trilogy in one. Maybe it's that much of a success.
It's a good point. It's a good point.
Let's see. Goonies? They didn't make a Goonies 2, did they?
They did not. Okay. There was forever there was the rumor that a Goonies 2 existed.
I still hear rumors of a new Ghostbusters movie. Yeah, need to happen.
I have heard that as well, yes. Unless they cast me as one of the new generation of Ghostbusters.
I can see that. Yeah.
Yes. If they do cast me...
be a ghost.
If they cast me, it needs to be made. If they don't cast
me. So we're just going to work from the preset that that's not going to happen.
That's true.
That it shouldn't be that's made. True.
Even though my star meter is up 6% this week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But no, you could totally be Slimer's fucking heir apparent.
Yeah. Well, no, I wouldn't be like...
You could be Rick Moranis's heir apparent.
Ooh.
Because technically, he was the fifth Ghostbuster. By the way...
Maybe I could be his
by the way,
or something.
Mm-hmm. Side note. Remember when LiveJournal was popular?
Mm-hmm.
My LiveJournal moniker... if you will, fifth Ghostbuster.
Oh, nice.
Named after Rick Moranis' character.
That's good.
Yes.
That's good.
And my friend...
fifth Beatle.
My friend Ashley Robeson,
mm-hmm.
who has a very popular fashion blog.
I read it every day.
Yes, yep. As well you should. Anyway...
just forgot the name of it.
Anyway, yeah, she hated that. For some reason, her hatred... of that username popped into my head because it was a really big deal. Because she got me onto LiveJournal.
Uh-huh.
She was like, hey.
But she thought that was a lame choice for a username?
Yes, yes.
Did she know it was you when she first started bitching about it to you? Or was she just like...
yeah, she was like, hey, you know, you should sign on to LiveJournal. This was like fucking, I don't know, freshman year of college or something. And, you know.
Very... frontier plains of blogging. Yes, yeah,
exactly.
So she thought you should use
your
real name.
The early days of social network. I don't know. She just didn't like my choice in Fifth Ghostbuster.
All right.
But anyway, okay. Well, I guess we beat that horse to death. But it's something. It's something we could start a forum thread on. Name a movie franchise that lasted entirely too long, horror genre excluded.
Okay. Do you have any? I mean, aside from Back to the Future.
I would not have made the fourth Indiana Jones. You know how much of an Alien fan I am.
Oh, yeah.
You know I'm a huge fucking UFO nut.
Yeah.
I am that guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I do not like how they brought the UFO...
shoehorned that into the whole archaeology
thing. The cool
thing
about Indiana Jones was it was real shit. Mm-hmm. Like, you know...
Nazis.
Yeah, Nazis.
Ark of the Covenant.
Fucking, you know, the Ark of the Covenant, the fucking Holy Grail, you know.
Those three stones in India.
Right. Those things really...
see, I kind of felt that about the part two. I was kind of like, eh, not so much. I think it was the lack of Nazis in it, but in
retrospect... irrespective of being real, they were tangible things.
Mm-hmm.
And granted... I know a lot about the Crystal Skulls. It's a popular topic on Coast to Coast, of which you know I'm an avid listener.
Yes, you
but
are.
It was a shitty movie, and I didn't like the UFO tie-in.
It just it threw it off of balance.
Yes, it did.
You had this pyramid totally of a trilogy,
yes.
And then like, hey, let's throw one more in there.
Right.
Why do we have to
it's
do
like,
that?
It's like, why? I know Harrison Ford needs a part he can fucking bite into these days, but seriously, leave it alone. Don't mess with a fucking classic.
And he just kind of looked sad.
I'm waiting for them to redo Casablanca with Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. Waiting for it to happen.
Wow.
waiting for them, or Citizen Kane with fucking, what's his face that I just mentioned?
Brad Pitt?
No, fat guy from
Harrison Ford?
No, fat guy. Three names was in Son of a Woman.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
No. What the fuck is that dude's name? I just said his name.
Philip Seymour
Hoffman. Yes. Yeah, I'm waiting for them to redo Citizen Kane with him in the lead.
Nice. Nice. Does it have to be a fat guy like him?
Yes.
Pudgy.
Hello, Orson Welles. Not exactly a rail.
Well, he was pretty, you know, he was, I guess, big statuesque at that time.
Yes, he was.
You can say that about a guy, but he wasn't, like, bloated, like in his later years of the Unexplained Mystery and whatnot. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're not going to remake those because audiences are too fucking stupid these days to warrant that.
Yeah, and speaking of stupidity in cinema, don't know if you had had a chance to look at the recent tops of the box office, but to tell you about the creativity of Hollywood, I'm going to read to you the top five movies of the box office.
Give it.
And you tell me what they have in common.
Okay.
Box office. Number one at the box office, Hop. Number two at the box office, Hannah. Number three at the box office, Arthur. Number four at the box office, Soul Surfer. Number five at the box office, Insidious. What do four out of those five movies have in common?
They're both proper nouns? All proper
close,
nouns?
Close, yeah. But no.
Names?
Even both simpler. Things? Even simpler.
They're all one word.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. The movie industry has gotten so simple that I think anything longer than a one-word title, and this is me being serious, like anything longer than a one-word title, they think will be too long to
we're gonna lose them.
To grab people's attention. I'm serious.
Indiana Jones and the next one. Can't even read the poster.
You're telling me Hollywood writers can't come up with more creative names than Hop, Hannah, Arthur, and Insidious?
Well, Arthur's a remake.
You're right, but it's still a one-word title.
Inception.
Right?
Well, it's like a Madonna. Huh? Or just like the one word,
yeah,
Cher.
Right, like, hey, but I'm saying when four out of the top five films at the box office are all one-word titles, that's a fucking, you know, there's a reason for that. It's not just...
It's a sign of the mental apocalypse.
Absolutely.
The next summer's big release, I think, will be Ass. And it will be that movie from Idiocracy. In fact, the movie that I was in that's due to come out this year is just called The Fields, which might just be shortened to Fields.
Yep.
Or The.
Right.
Or The.
Yeah, well, I mean, that TV show I auditioned for probably a year and a half ago that I think came on ABC and lasted for maybe... two episodes. What was it? The Gates?
Yeah.
Did you audition for that?
No.
Okay. Well, anyway, it was called The Gates. And then I remember...
It's vague.
I remember getting an audition notice for The Fields. And now it's Hop, Hannah, Arthur, Insidious. Pretty soon it's just going to be like the movie V. You know, it's going to be like the letter V on Sesame Street, but the film is going to be called V.
Well, V was one of the best miniseries on television.
Yeah, but Hop, Hannah, Arthur, Insidious. It's ridiculous. It's insidious is what it is.
It is. It's insidiously ridiculous.
It is. And the final movie item. Have you read any of the backlash, I guess, about the Wonder Woman costume?
Yeah, there was some photo leaked or released, probably released for, you know, getting a little publicity before the fact. I don't know what the hype was. I remember a lot of people like, I know what I'm going to be doing later, you know, accompanied it. And it was jack-offable, I guess. But beyond that, I don't really recall much. I mean, the chick didn't really look particularly striking.
Well, the hubbub is basically over the new Wonder Woman movie that they are currently filming.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried to do this really lame costume. And when that photo was leaked,
mm-hmm.
all the fanboys and our fellow nerds apparently got in a tizzy over the fact that the outfit was not up to snuff. So a lot of people wrote in and said, hey, this new outfit for Wonder Woman sucks a big one. So apparently the studio redid the...
Really? Because the nerd community...
Yes. It reminds me greatly of the Snakes on a Plane. Remember when there was that big hubbubaloo online where people wanted...
Needed Sam Jackson.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wanted him to say, you know, something about get these motherfucking snakes off this motherfucking plane. And there was a big internet thing. And the studio actually did it, you know.
Yeah.
They actually put it in the movie.
Right, so they changed. Do we have like a before and after shot?
I haven't had the latest, but the last thing I read regarding it was... they had changed it like mid-shooting, so apparently now there's going to be seriously like three different costumes
during the film.
Wow. So I guess they're going to just try and portray her as a superhero that changes her costumes a lot.
Oh, of course.
But that's going to piss a lot of the
people that care about dramatic structure. Yeah.
Well, a lot of the fanboys off, too, because they're going to say, she never changed costumes in the comic books, you know? So, anyway. I just thought...
You can't make everybody happy, you know?
I thought I would mention that on the Nerd Aristocracy, seeing as how some of the proletariat may...
That, I'm sure that bodes well for the actual film, you know, and what it is going to end up being the quality of. I remember the chick that they showed being too thin to be Wonder Woman. Now Wonder Woman in the 60s show, I forget the actress's name, she was lithe, she was thin. I mean, she should be attractive, of course, because she's a superhero and a chick, and all chick superheroes should be attractive. But isn't she like from planet Amazonia or something? I mean, she should be not like dyke stocky or anything, but she should look like she could really rip my arm off in arm wrestling or something. Maybe just a little bit more statuesque.
Well, I'll read you this brief article. This from a friend of the show and member of the proletariat, Patrick Stewart.
Uh-huh.
Not to be confused with the Star Trek character of same name. When the first photos of Wonder Woman star Adrian Palicki emerged from the pilot set a couple of weeks ago, it seemed that NBC had reacted to the outcry over the initial publicity still and swapped the shiny vinyl costume for, well, something far less shiny. But that isn't what happened at all. Oh, the network heard the criticism. It just didn't respond to it. Instead, it kept to the plan, which apparently is for Wonder Woman to wear three costumes. The shiny one that virtually everyone hates, the one we saw in the set pics, and the one that will be slightly more familiar. So that is the latest off the Wonder Woman news wire.
I think the outfit just looks like hot. I mean, not like, ooh, hot. Not like Paris Hilton. Well, like Paris Hilton hot. Okay. No, not like Paris Hilton hot. Like temperature hot. Like, boy, the bitch must smell in that. Because it's all shiny. It doesn't look like it breathes very well. That's the shiny one. So it's a TV show, not a movie, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Doomed to fail. One season. Closed out. But I thought that about V, too, and apparently that's going on. Can't account for that.
Anyway. So I guess we're ready to switch gears, unless you have some other cinema-related mm-hmm. issues.
No.
Okay.
Well, actually, I do. One thing.
Please.
Tangentially related to entertainment.
Apparently, it's been decreed in China that the State Administration for Radio, Film, and Television has passed a mandate that television dramas will no longer be able to feature time travel in any of their entertainment.
Wow.
They are outlawing time travel. Because, quote, it lacks positive thoughts and meaning that characters would travel back in time. I guess if, you know, back then was so great, then why didn't you stay there?
Could you say that again, please? Because I missed the first part.
That.
Are you serious? No, actually, I heard it. I just didn't. I wanted to make sure I got the country right.
Yeah, China.
China. Okay. China.
Yeah, they're like, no going back in time. Back in time, bad. Now only time that exists. Which is kind of funny coming from a country that likes to totally control its populace's concept of the world.
Well, your impression was funnier for more than that one reason.
Yeah?
It was funny because it sounded like Mr. Miyagi, who was actually Japanese.
Yeah, but he spent so much time killing Chinese people that they might have tortured him.
It's a good point.
What's a Chinese person sound like? That's what I'm saying, Soggy. Like these?
Yes, I was about to do my very racist...
All right, let's do a quick interview. Hello, Mr. Bell. I am from China State Administration, Radio, Film, and Television. Would you like to ask me some questions about why we're not having no more time travel?
I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions, and I want to have them answered immediately.
Schwarzenegger.
Who's your daddy, and what does he do?
Is that from Commando?
That is Kindergarten Cop. Maybe you can answer this.
Mm.
Is it China or Japan where the pornography, they blur just the woman's crotch?
That is Japan.
Okay.
That's Japan. Pornography doesn't exist in China.
Okay.
They don't have sex there.
Okay.
They just
have the most people in the world.
They come from rice.
Okay.
In Japan,
rice store.
And apparently from sources that I have, that
inside the red state of China.
No, inside the land of the red rising sun of Japan.
Okay.
That have their finger on that particular pulse is that pornography, so to speak, kind of shows on regular cable TV, like later on at night. Yeah. And I mean, hentai wise, cartoony and stuff like that. But even some porn, I think, even some like real live actors. And yeah, they will pixelate the penis out.
Okay.
And the poontang.
Right.
They pixelate that, but it's kind of like the bad pixelation. Like if you squint a little bit, you can kind of still stand back far enough.
Sure, yeah.
And the imagination will kind of fill in the blanks.
Sure.
But yeah, there's no like black bar. And it's like it's porn. And I think they even do that like if you go to a porn store in Japan, which is probably a vending machine, right. and you just get a porno, it's still pixelated. It's like, I don't know if you can
like
pay
you can't
any
get
amount
a,
of money.
You're right. You can't get away from the censorship unless you like import it on the black market.
Right. But then, I mean, you're just looking at European porn. I mean, even if you do like black market, you can't see a Japanese cock going a Japanese twat and not be blocked
right.
out.
Unless said genitals
are animated.
No, this is what a Japanese man and woman could fly to Europe, produce a porn, and then smuggle said porn back into the country.
Yes.
Or they could just make homemade porn and release it non...
Well, if they want any kind of commercial avenue to get it out there, it's going to be pixelated by the porn patrol.
Right, in Japan.
Yeah, I don't know why they do that, actually. I mean, because they have some of the most appalling visuals in form of hentai. I mean, if I can see like a demon octopus cock split a bitch in half... Unpixelated, why can't I see a nice romantic Japanese
penis? I've
never
watched any hentai.
What?
I've watched plenty of standard pornography, but never
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Oh, buddy, clear your schedule.
I'm all set.
Where's that lotion explosion? Come on.
But yeah, so that's interesting.
And that's the cap on that. So yeah, that's very interesting. Yeah, that's and that does clear the vaguely related to entertainment stuff that I have. Okay. I would like to say though that we achieved, we rose above the threatening darkening tide and did keep funding for Corporation for Public Broadcasting yes. in effect.
Sure.
It is cut somewhat.
Right.
But I mean very minimally. It's like what, like 0.6% or something like that. But then it's like just around the corner is the funding for next year. So it got me thinking, it might be one of those things like the Republicans were threatening, like, oh, we're going to just totally slash and burn all this funding for right. this socialist entity that is
sure.
public broadcasting. And everybody's like, oh, no, please don't do that. And then they come back and they say, okay, well, we're just going to cut out, you know, 20% of it.
Right.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Oh, yes. Oh, just do
20%. Yeah.
And I mean, is it that kind of thinking? Like they sure. threatened to just stomp the whole thing out.
No, I think
like,
a lot of the
I'm not going to kill you. It's going to cut off your hand. Oh, right. good. Oh, good.
Right. I think a lot of the current budgetary posturing from the Republicans is like that. You know, they toss out and they say, okay, we want to cut, you know, $4 trillion from the deficit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is essentially every fucking government program there is, you know, including Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, fucking whatever. And
hey, those people can work.
And then they say, oh, well, actually, we just want to cut $1 trillion. And then the Democrats say, well, we don't want you to cut anything. So then they agree on, you know, $750 billion, which, you know.
Nothing to sneeze at, but.
Still, no, but, you know, then again, if the Republicans actually wanted corporations like GE to pay taxes or rich people to pay taxes,
mm-hmm.
Which, you know, is completely out of the question. You know, why should rich people have to pay any taxes? You know?
Oh, they pay taxes. They pay more taxes than anybody. It's true. I looked it up sometime.
Yeah, but not percentage-wise.
Well, no, there's just less of them to go around. I mean, you know what?
Right, but
1% of the population has all the cash.
That's why I'm a proponent of the flat tax. Because if the guy making minimum wage has to pay 30% in taxes, mm-hmm. shouldn't the guy who's making $5
billion? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think they do. I think they pay more.
They do not pay more.
Yeah.
No.
No?
No.
I think they do.
This could be one of the things where you're wrong. And it could be one of the places where I'm wrong. One of us is wrong. And I don't think it's me. But I'll do some research on it. Anyway, your initial point made me think of this. You know those little statuses on Facebook that kind of go around and everybody posts them?
Mm-hmm.
Well, my friend Jade stole this from somebody, but I thought it was funny, so I'll redo it. Her status was, do you remember when teachers, Planned Parenthood, NPR, and PBS crashed the stock market, wiped out half of our 401ks, drove us to a decade of trillion-dollar wars, spilled oil in the Gulf of Mexico, took billions in TARP money, and gave themselves billions in bonuses and paid no taxes? Yeah, me either.
Nice. Well, didn't they lead us to that? I mean, wasn't that just like a slow boil? Like all that money to all the old people to keep living and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, something like that.
I did find if you make $373,650 a year, you are taxed 35% of your income and above. If you make under $8,500 a year, you're only taxed 10%.
And what's that on? GOP.org?
Glennbeck.com. Bill O'Reilly is JesusReincarnated.org.
Right.
No, it's MoneyChimp. MoneyChimp.com.
MoneyChimp.
Tax brackets.
MoneyChimp.
Yeah, well, where's your information come, Mr. You Ain't Got Nothing?
It comes from...
is there crickets?
AlFranken.com.
Uh-huh, you fucking lefty pinko faggot.
Oh, God.
Now, I know they do pay the most, but, I mean, it stops at some point. It's like if you're over $300,000, you pay this amount. Like, if you make $2 billion, you don't pay any more of a percentage.
Anyway, so the other night I heard a really interesting, probably the best coast-to-coast episode that I had heard in a long time. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to mention that. Nothing I really specific that I pulled from it that I wanted to share on the show.
You just really enjoyed it.
Just really enjoyed it. There were two guests. One was Jesse Ventura, who is probably my idol as far as politics goes, because he's fiscally conservative and he's socially liberal, which are where my general political beliefs fall. Alex Jones was also on the show. Don't know if you're familiar with him.
No.
Another radio host, conspiracy theorist, oriented, conspiracy theory oriented. He runs the website Infowars.com.
Oh yeah, that guy.
He was the guy that broke this Charlie Sheen newfound craziness story.
Yeah, he also did the that YouTube video that was a huge sensation.
Yeah, he's done a lot of YouTube videos.
9/11 conspiracy one, I forget what it is. Right. But he's all black helicopters. I mean, he makes Glenn Beck look like a fucking soccer mom.
Yeah, but he's not like...
No, he's shitbird. He is shitbird.
No, he is fucking Looney Tunes. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is Glenn Beck typically has a conservative approach to it.
Right.
Alex Jones is more of a, hey, they're all fucking in this.
Yeah, everybody's going to
Bilderberg conspiracy. You know, they're all in on it. Mm-hmm. And Glenn Beck is just like, oh, the left, commie, fucking, they want to eat your babies and, you know, throw your grandma in the fire kind of a thing. So, anyway, speaking of Glenn Beck.
I didn't know Ventura was all into the paranormal and stuff like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. He's got a new book coming out called 63 Documents the Government Doesn't Want You to Read. I've not picked up that book. I do have his other two books, which I've read. Those are more politically oriented. One's called Do I Stand Alone? And the other one is... what's the name of his other book?
I couldn't tell you. I didn't know he was into it in the first place, as I already stated about 10 seconds ago.
I know, but I've read it. I've read it twice, and I can't think of the...
I'll have to check it out. I like that stuff, especially when I find like an unlikely celebrity that would be into that. You know, like Dan Aykroyd, I didn't know he was such a serious proponent of it.
Sure. But because Jesse Ventura had that show on TV, and it was called like Conspiracy Theory or something.
Wow, I totally missed that.
Yeah, Conspiracy Theory, True TV, Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura.
Awesome. Recently, within the past 10 years or so?
Yeah. It just got done with its second season, I believe. I'm not going to stop until I figure out the name of Jesse Ventura's book. So talk
for me. Okay, that's awesome, because I'm sure people just can't wait to hear. Oh, it's this.
Well, talk for a minute while I'm looking this shit up.
I shall. Something interesting. Let me get back to more nerdy realms, is that recently in Libya, within the past week, they were able to wrest some of the telecom communications back from Gaddafi's control and give it to the rebels. Because, you know, one of the first things they did was shut down the internet, shut down cell service. So on February 17th, a 31-year-old Libyan telecom executive named Usama Abushagir, who's got my nerd thumb up of the fucking month at least, masterminded this operation from his home in Abu Dhabi. He was raised in Huntsville, Alabama, also. Nice little factoid. Anyway, what Osama did was come up with a plan to tap in to some of the telecom that has been routed to Tripoli under Gaddafi's control, and kind of cut a part of that pie back and redistribute it so the rebels could use it. And the rebels couldn't use any form of communication. So what they were doing on the battlefield is they were holding up flags. Red flag means retreat. Green flag means go ahead. Of course, that's a nice way to also tell your enemies, any color flag, shoot me. The United Arab Emirates came to his aid and gave him, from what I understand, several million dollars to buy the parts and machinery he needed possible to come in and, with a team of bodyguards and engineers, go into a Libyan town and be able to tap into their system and cut off a chunk of the cell service for the rebels. And it's interesting, bringing us back to China, is that Chinese company Huawei Technologies Limited, that were the original contractors for Libya's cell network, refused to sell this guy the equipment that he needed in order to tap in to the infrastructure there. I guess they didn't want to pick a dog in that fight. Right. I don't know. Just seems kind of weird if the entire world is saying Gaddafi bad, bad, and this one guy along with the United Arab Emirates is trying to get some form of communication for the rebels. Think you'd sell them a little something,
right?
If not just fucking give it to them, I don't know. But thanks to his contacts in the UAE, they were able to make it happen and captured a Tripoli-based database of phone numbers, giving them information necessary to kind of turn on cell phones that Libyan customers had that had been turned off since then. And that's really interesting, and that's a great feat in the fight against tyranny.
Right.
Just wondering where it's going to go from there.
Yeah, I predict if the Gaddafi regime falls, which I would predict it would eventually, I predict that company is going to need to move its corporate headquarters.
Yeah, me too. I would guess well, they're privately held, so it's not like a public stock. But I can imagine.
Right, but still, I don't think their corporate headquarters is going to be on fucking Gaddafi Avenue anymore.
Right. I don't think they're going to win any friends in future dealings. Yeah. And they're in bed with a bunch of people. I saw them like in Motorola partnerships and stuff like that. So that can't be good for the public relations.
The Jesse Ventura book I was thinking of, I Ain't Got Time to Bleed. And I believe his official website is IAin'tGotTimeToBleed.com.
Which, of course, is from Predator. Yep. I Ain't Got Time to Bleed. I thought that guy had the biggest jaw in fucking history.
And I read a interesting overview of a scientific article recently.
Yeah.
And it was done by a psychology professor at the University of Michigan and his colleagues. But it basically says, or it basically found that the regions of the brain that respond to physical pain overlap with the parts of the brain that react to social rejection. So basically what the study found is when you have a broken heart, it literally hurts. Because it's the same part of the brain that is firing.
Love hurts.
Exactly. But, I mean, just love like, you know, when you have a broken heart, like you literally feel bad.
Yeah.
You know, like you have physical
Got
symptoms.
It. Yeah.
And some people just think it's like your body manifesting those feelings. But the study basically found that, no, you're actually hurting. You're not just imagining it because you feel like shit.
Wow.
You're actually hurting because it's the same part of the brain.
I wonder if I can get a prescription if I get dumped in the future.
That's a good
from
question.
My doctor. Like, oh, she left me, doc. Right. Need some pain meds.
Need some Percocet.
You got to stop breaking up every week, Ryan. This is terrible. Yeah, I know. Just help me out.
You got to let that bitch go, man. This is your eighth time in this month. But yeah, I found that to be interesting.
Yeah, I have been there a couple of times.
Yeah.
Down on my knees, howling with snot and tears as
my
only
companions. Yeah, me too, man. I've been there. Sucks.
It's liberating, though. I mean, afterwards, like the calm after the storm to get that all out.
But anyway, it's about all I had. I noticed that My old haunt, or one of my old haunts, I should say, on Decatur Street, changed its name again. It is now 1135 Decatur, as in the address of the place. And I found it amusing because it just says, you know, alternative nightlife since, you know, 1985 or whatever is what's on the sign now. But I thought it was so funny because, you know, at first it was the, like, Blue Crystal.
Right.
And then it was the Whirling Dervish, and then it was Ruby Fruit Jungle, and now it's 1135 Decatur. I think it's changed.
Oh, so it's just named the address now.
Right.
Wow, that's pretty fucking pretentious.
Exactly. So anyway,
it's known as like.
Well, I mean that's kind of how everybody always referred to it because it changed names so many times
right.
that it was just like it's almost like you just said that bar, you mm-hmm. know, 1135.
Yeah, I always knew it as that place next to Angelis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like where? Oh, the place next to Angelis where all the emos hang out. Oh yeah, yeah, right. I know that.
It's actually more gothic than emo, I think. I think emo is like the saint. I would say the emo hipster kids hang out at the saint.
Yeah.
Or Molly's. Molly's is another or the R bar.
Molly's that's more hipstery though. I mean you're gonna find guys with like really unkempt beards and they think it's looks good.
Yeah.
You know, that's gonna be Molly's.
Fucking edgy, man.
And it's like, wow, you are so into yourself.
Right. So I guess we'll wrap this puppy up. What are you nerding on this week?
Let's see. I'm nerding on a short story collection that my wife gave me for my birthday a couple months back. Neil Gaiman's collection of short stories.
Okay.
That name escapes me.
Right.
I Ain't Got Time to Bleed. Probably isn't it.
Right.
But it's like one of the short story collections he came up with. And there's some really nice, tight little gems in there that are real nice, really fantastic. There's a particularly great one that's only like 3 or 4 pages long, but it's called Other People. And it's basically about hell, one guy's experience going into hell. And it's just so wonderfully written. And what I think hell might actually be like.
So it's kind of, is it like a comical Dante's Inferno or?
Not at all.
Okay.
It's like a guy walks into a room with ill-defined walls and there's somebody there with stretched sunburnt skin and scars all over their body and they're a demon. And
is that Satan?
No, it's just a demon. And
just one of Satan's minions?
Yeah. And he's very passive in his greeting to this new resident of hell. And he's kind of like, here you will suffer.
Right.
Just very matter-of-factly. He's not like really getting any glee from it. Almost like a therapist is kind of how it comes off.
Right.
And he says, this moment is the best moment you will remember. Why? You're telling me you're going to fucking beat the shit out of me and stuff. He's like, yes, because everything after this moment is unbearable. And then it just goes cat of nine tails and flaying his skin and whipping him and burning him and shit like that. But then the bad stuff starts.
So I take it he's not a masochist.
No, okay. No. And the really bad stuff, spoiler, go ahead, is that he's forced to relive every injustice that he's ever committed in his life and every selfish deed he's done that has hurt somebody and every way that he has manipulated a situation to his benefit and experiences the hurt that he inflicted on others emotionally and spiritually and advantagely and also tertiary ways. Like he might've done something to somebody that had a spinoff on somebody he's never connected to because somebody is never able to love again or something
right.
like that. And it's just the way it's written is like, wow, you know, I think that would be the most terrible thing. And just how when he's going through that, he's romanticizing being beaten with like whips again because that is preferable. And it's just again and again and again.
Yeah, that's
and
a
again.
Pretty interesting theme.
And
I
then
guess.
The last time when he expects it to happen again, he opens his eyes and there's nobody there. And then the door opens and another man in a well-dressed suit with an air of pomposity walks through. And he says, this is the best moment you'll ever remember your entire life. So he becomes the demon that's going to do the thing to the guy. Yeah.
Nice.
And that's the story. Pretty good, huh?
It's a pretty good story.
Yeah.
Good
so story. Totally don't buy the book now. But there's some other good stuff in it, too. That's about it.
That's cool, man.
Mm-hmm. You?
Well, I'm not nerding on much, man. I'm trying to catch up from being out of town. I haven't really had time to nerd on much. I'm doing.
Yeah,
the
I heard
whole...
you had. I saw you had a book in your math room there.
Yeah, I was. I've been needing to do the grocery store and the laundry
awesome.
And the chores
Woo!
And still need to get. I have to recut the video for Jessie.
Uh-huh. Yeah, too short
for her project. I'm chopping it into two different videos so I can increase the resolution.
Ah,
so
okay.
Anyway, so that's what I'm going to be nerding on for the next few days.
Well, cool then. Last bit, when I get something else nerdy and right quick.
Sure.
Was able to play with the Motorola Zoom. I've been waiting for this to come out. This is Motorola's foray, XOOM, into the tablet wars. And finally got one in at work, and I wanted to see if this was indeed the Pepsi to Apple's iPad Coca-Cola. And if you're comparing against the iPad 1, yeah. Pretty good. Pretty responsive, pretty snappy. The UI, user interface is pretty nice. It has a nice spacey kind of feel. But what seems cool now might be kitschy in a couple of years, you know? Like, it looks like they're trying to look like Tron or something like that. And in, you know, 5 years, Tron's not going to be cool anymore. So it's going to be kind of stuck there. I mean, I guess the operating system will upgrade and stuff, but there's nothing timeless in it. It's kind of like, oh, it's kind of styled, right. You know? And I can see an older person picking this up and not really intuitively knowing how to operate it.
Right.
Like, the wake button is on the back of the device. You have to kind of turn it over and find where that is. Like, the one physical button that's on it does have two cameras. Speakers are kind of decent. I did do some internet browsing. Didn't want to see if it did Flash. Because, oh, iPad doesn't do Flash, but this does.
Right.
And I went to a couple of Flash websites, started loading, boom, kicked out to the home screen. I didn't get any error. I don't know what happened. It just stopped the browsing experience and booted me out.
Nice.
Yeah. And I do my little thing where I go wiki, wiki, wiki on the screen to see if the finger touch tracking will keep up with me.
Right.
And to see if it's fluid. And it did. It did the best among all devices I've seen next to the iPad. Barely any delay. Spooled up video from the internet pretty quickly and showed it well. Something that was interesting, though, when I was using a web browser and going to, like, Yahoo or something like that. Not to be confused with Yahoo, but Yahoo. when I went to those websites, it identifies itself as a mobile browsing device, and the website opened in a very pared down, ungraphically lush way, like right. You might on a dumb phone look sure. at a website, which is unfortunate because the horsepower that it packs can certainly render a web page, and the iPad will go to a full-fledged web page. It won't go to like a mobile version
right.
by default. So it gives you like some nice you know, eye candy that you want when you're browsing on a machine like that. Price tag is more than the iPad, and I think you have to buy a contract from Verizon if you want to use the internet. I don't know if they do a month to month subscription. Gotta look into that. But overall, a little better performance than the iPad 1, but now the iPad 2's out, and it's like, hey, thanks. I say this many times, but, you know, thanks for coming to the party, but fucking you missed it.
Right.
Kind of thing. Like, this is great. You know, catch up later with the next one. Good luck. So, thanks for coming, Motorola.
Well, cool deal. Well, tell the proletariat about stickers.
Stickers. Oh, yeah, thanks. Hey, proletariat, we got some swag in.
Yes,
got
we some did.
Business cards. They're all fucking cool looking and full color because I designed them.
Right.
And
misspelled.
Yeah, misspelled something. If you can find the misspelling on it, you get to keep them for free.
That's true.
And we have some stickers with complete spelling. All right.
Yes.
Yeah, got those,
stickers.
Right? Stickers. They're, you know, about 3.5 inches.
They're
about
3.5 nice. Inches they're square. Nice stickers.
Like, yeah, you glad we went with those?
I'm glad.
I wanted to push with the full color thing.
Yes, they look great.
Because I see these more being put, you know, on the back of stop signs, in your favorite bar, coffee shop, restroom, something like
yes,
that.
Yes, we are not encouraging vandalism or defacing of property.
Wink.
But if you would like to put them on the toilet at your favorite bar,
mm-hmm.
or the back of the door,
campus security car,
uh-huh. The back of your college dean's Mercedes,
right? With the little sticker protector off on their seat when they sit on it in class, maybe your professor will just have us on their ass.
The cool local coffee shop where people are allowed to write on walls.
Absolutely.
Or put, you know.
Your skateboard.
Yeah, your skateboard or anywhere that nerds congregate, essentially. Or people that would like this show congregate.
Your mom's basement door.
Yes. So anyway, we are offering these stickers to you free of charge.
Free!
Including, you don't even have to send us a self-addressed stamped envelope. We will cover the postage.
Yes.
All you have to do is write in and request some stickers. tell us feasibly how many you think you would be prepared to quote-unquote, use.
Yeah, be modest now. Don't say, like, send me whatever you can, and you're just going to fucking throw it in a shoebox.
Exactly.
You know, you have to be due diligent and put it out there. Come on.
Exactly. So if you're willing to put 10 out, say 10. If you are willing to put 40 out, say 40. But anyway.
Email us at nerd at... No,
mail at nerdaristocracy.com.
Oh, man, I've been doing nerd at mailaristocracy.com.
Yeah, right.
No, mail at nerdaristocracy.com.
Yes, M-A-I-L at nerdaristocracy.com. Just put in the subject line sticker request, and then in the body of the email, just tell us your name, your address, and how many you would like, and we will get those out to you immediately.
Word. Do it, so, nerd.
That is it. You can catch Jonah Hex on Sunday and Monday on HBO. So you can check that out if you would like. Maybe if you tune in, I might get a penny more on my next residual check.
Nice. You know the time code that you're at or anything like that?
I do not.
Okay. What's the scene? Can you tell the folks the scene?
Jonah Hex, the lead character, Josh Brolin, is riding up on his horse to a big white circus tent.
Okay.
And I am the bouncer, essentially, at the circus tent. So
nice.
You can check that out. And this Saturday, April 16th, at the Convention Center in Jackson, Mississippi, is the first annual Mississippi UFO Conference.
Oh, shit.
So this Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Linda Moulton Howe, well-respected ufologist, will be giving the keynote address in the afternoon. So if you are in the Mississippi and or Louisiana area and you want to go and spend $5 or $10 to buy a ticket to hear some well-respected UFO lecturers and authors talk, the Mississippi UFO Conference, April 16th at the Jackson Convention Center, starting at 10 a.m. There you have it.
Man.
We are ready to roll out. So thank you for tuning in. We really appreciate it. Don't forget about the free stickers. Mail at nerdaristocracy.com. And
like us on Facebook. Tell people about us. Spread the word.
Absolutely. Let people know.
Yeah, we got about 200 consistent listeners now. Only 38 people like us on Facebook. What's up?
Yeah.
Come on.
Drive that number up.
All right, hombres.
Thank you very much for listening. We will catch you on the flip side.
Catch you later, folks. Enjoy.
Later!
Thank you. Maybe you shouldn't drink so much.
Maybe I shouldn't breathe so much, Terry. Ha ha!
That's it, pal. We're closing up now.
I'm gonna finish this.